is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. And I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got my wife, Vicky, with me. And we're talking about something that the world sometimes rushes right over, right by. You're not going to find this listed in the table of contents in probably any best-selling marriage book, because they go after things that are jazzier and seem much, much, much flashier and exciting. When you turn to God's Word, you find that real love grows in the midst of ordinary, everyday actions that too often are left undone. You can just show up with something spectacular once in a while for Valentine's Day or birthday or anniversary. But if the rest of the days of that year are missing these ordinary components
Great
of love,
point.
You just won't have a marriage that thrives. And so when God gets ready to talk to us about what matters most, this word heads up the list of what love really means. Love is, say it, Vicky.
Patient.
And I love it. In the previous show, I told you that there are two words for patience in the Greek language as you go through the Bible. One means patient in circumstances. You stand up under a hard circumstance. And there's an altogether different word for patience with people. I think that's where we struggle the most. And it's macrothumia, long fuse. I have a long fuse. I will suffer long. I will be inconvenienced. I'll stay with it. I won't give up quickly or easily. Love, this kind of love is the ability to be inconvenienced or taken advantage of and yet not getting angry or giving up. And I think it's interesting that even in their day, you might think, oh, I bet people knew about this and did this back in the day. We just don't anymore. No, they didn't. Because in the time that the New Testament was being written, the Greek world itself at that time had no concept of a self-sacrificing, non-avenging patience. Mm. Believe it or not, because to some degree it's true today, it was considered a weakness to be patient or to not avenge yourself. In fact, the very absence of avenging yourself, if you were patient, that was considered unworthy of a noble man or woman. Aristotle, you know that name, right? The philosopher. Aristotle, for example, taught that the great Greek virtue was refusal to tolerate insult or injury and to strike back in retaliation for the slightest offense. Mm,
that sounds like 2025 to me.
Yeah, that sounds like hashtag you name it, the world blowing up. I will not tolerate
For
the slightest offense. And listen to me, if that's the way you're living with each other, there won't be any love.
Mm-hmm.
Your marriage will definitely be on life support. This is the person, they believe that you should fight back, stand up for your own welfare and rights above all else. And yet John Chrysostom, old dead preacher, he said this about the word we're digging into today. He said, it is a word used of the man who is wronged and who easily has the power to avenge himself, but will not do it out of mercy and patience. Vicky, you got any thoughts about this word that just gets trampled over and even considered weakness?
Right.
We shouldn't be doing that.
And I really like John's quote. I'm going to read part of it again. Who easily has the power to avenge himself, but will not do it out of mercy and patience. And I think in marriage, you live so closely with someone, you know all their strengths and you know all their weaknesses. You're very known by your spouse. And I think if we're not careful, sometimes in our desire to try to get our spouse to change or point out things about them, and I've seen this happen time and time again, you'll do it in a large group. Like, you know, you're probably the only one that knows that you know, your spouse is always late, or they have a birthmark on their upper thigh, or they snore at night. You know, those are things that...
Or they're bad with directions.
Yeah, could be bad with the directions. But you easily have the power to avenge yourself. And I think sometimes I've seen this, like in group settings in our home, a spouse will think, ooh, in front of this group, when I'm not with this person by myself, I'm just going to tell something that they do that I don't like, and maybe they'll change. Well, that's just putting a bigger wedge in your marriage. Mm-hmm. Don't do that to your spouse. Because knowledge is power in some instances.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so don't use your personal knowledge of your spouse to their detriment, especially in front of other people.
Yeah, to piggyback on that, Vicki, I can't tell you how many times as a pastor on a Sunday morning when I'm just mixing and mingling and poking my way into a row and just yucking it up, saying hi to somebody, a spouse will start talking to me about their spouse as if they're not sitting there.
Rough.
And I agree with you. I have concluded that I think they think, I don't want to say this to them privately, but I'll go for it right now.
In front of the pastor.
Yeah, I'll go for
it
now.
That's going to go really well.
Because they're in a position where what could they do?
Right.
And this is how they'll hear what I want to say to them. I'm telling you what, that is not loving.
Mm-hmm.
That is not loving at all.
Yeah. And I think too, like, you know, a good example, and I really like the definition, you have a long fuse, and there's just almost nothing or anyone in our society that does that. So I think that's a good example for us to practically put in our mind as a word picture. I mean, so I feel like you've really grown in patience with me in a number of ways. One thing
well,
is...
Well, and I want to, let me jump in on what you just touched on, because I think it's really good that I hadn't really thought about, that patience is a willingness to not use everything you know about them against them. Because as you live with them, I appreciate that you said you're going to know their strengths and you're going to know their weaknesses. Sadly, you can still live with blinders on and really not appreciate their strengths.
Right.
But you are so aware more than hardly anybody else of their weaknesses, and you could use that against them and really hurt them and really take advantage of them. And because even... You know, you talked about me not having a sense of directions, and it's absolutely true. But here's what she always does, you guys. She'll still regularly say to me, do you mind if I talk about that? I'm thinking about saying this. Would that hurt your feelings? Would you? And that's love, you know, because sometimes there's something that you might say, I would rather you not.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, she knows like I'm like an open book.
Yeah,
I'm very transparent.
And I try to be.
But she still tries to be careful. And she'll say to me regularly, now, I thought I'm going to talk about this in my women's conference, or I was talking about this on the show.
Right.
Do you mind? Would you be okay with that? That's love. Because
notice
how often we are talking about weaknesses, failures, inadequacies. And
which everyone has.
Yeah.
I mean,
but you
got to
make sure you're not doing that in a way that's hurtful to them.
Right.
And I tell you, the reason we can both talk like this about each other, you have to have a context already where there's just so much where you're pouring into each other and expressing appreciation.
In a positive way. Right.
Then they're likely willing to talk about some weaknesses. But when you don't tell them what you appreciate, they probably don't want you highlighting their weaknesses, especially publicly.
Because, I mean, really, your spouse just knows you better than anyone.
Yeah.
And I even think of it like, you know, on my phone, I finally caved and decided to do the whole face ID thing. I'm like, oh, this is going to be like 666. Like, okay, no, I'm going to do it. This is what everyone's doing now. But it's so alarming to me. I'm thinking, you know, I get up in the morning, I look at my phone, and it's like face not recognized. I'm like, do I look that bad? I mean,
you have to
type in your little code. I'm like, they don't recognize me. Like, okay, even my phone doesn't recognize me. But your spouse, they see you in good, the bad. They see you with, you know, when you first get up in the morning. They see you in the middle of the night, perhaps. I mean, they see the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, you know, even your phone doesn't even recognize you. That's just very, that's really offensive
disturbing.
To me. Like, what about, how bad do I look today? You know, so I just think we know so much about our spouse that we don't want to use that against them. So I think that's something that we could all just be mindful of, you know. And I do think, I think Brad is very patient with me. And it really is kind of neat in some ways. A lot of, I always, even like with him not knowing things direction-wise, I think it's because I don't know which part of the brain it is. It's that whole left brain, right brain thing. He is such a strong speaker and speaks clearly. He can see a whole big problem and think,
mine's
we need to
the
do
word,
this, this.
Art, music, color side, whatever side that is.
And so he just kind of isn't as strong in, you know, perhaps these other areas. And I remember even my mom, because my dad could just fix anything.
She's being kind. What she means is he's abysmal. He's terrible.
He's getting any better. But like my dad could fix the washing machine. He would fix our dryer. I mean, that's what I just grew up just seeing that. And one time I did say to my mom, well, Brad's not really good with that kind of stuff. And she said, yeah, but you know what? Your dad can't preach a sermon like Brad. And I'm like, that's a good point. So once again, I just think, you know, learn your spouse and learn
and
their
I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not exaggerating at all. I just did not get certain things. And she's better at fixing things than I am. She's better with logic, like reading a set of directions and understanding a 3D drawing. And if she just continued to insist that her measure of a man was what her dad could do, that would be very hurtful to
yeah.
me. She has chosen to recognize my strengths
yeah.
and then just compliment and fill in for my weaknesses because I certainly have them. But guess what, my friend? So do you.
True.
We all have strengths and we all, and I wasn't talking to you, Vicky. I was talking to the listeners. We all have strengths and we all have weaknesses and your marriage will begin to thrive when you say, God, a big part of what love means is choosing not to focus on my spouse's weakness, mm-hmm. not to shame them, not to blame them, and certainly not to publicly bring it out. I'm going to be patient. That's what love looks like. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk about a little more. What would it look like to be patient, which is what it means to love?
And we'll be back with more from Brad, Vicky in just a moment. They're staying with the unfancy word that keeps a home from cracking. That is patience. And I want to point you to something else real quick while we've got just a moment. That's Fortis Plus. Everything we make here at Fortis Institute lives in one place, and that's the Fortis Plus app. It's not just another app. It's more like shelf space, shared shelf space. Because when you open Fortis Plus, you're going to find clear voices that deal with real issues like marriage and family issues, theology, biblical counseling, biblical manhood, biblical womanhood. And the way they deal with these issues is straight on, using scripture. So whether you're looking for a longer take on a subject or you're looking for something short and quick, you're going to find all kinds of content available to you right now at Fortis Plus. Absolutely free. I'll talk about that in just a moment. Fortis Plus, though, it's available in your app store on your phone or on your smart TV. Just search Fortis Plus. You can also go to fortisplus.org. Now, the part about it being free, let me tell you how that happens. We don't sell your attention. We don't meter content. We don't tuck it behind a subscription. What happens around here instead is everything remains free because of gospel partners. Those are people who have partnered with our ministry, have linked arms with us because the content we produce has helped them. And they, in turn, want to help someone else. They want more people all over the world to be able to access this content for free. So if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, because that's your number one giving priority, if you're doing that and you have a margin and you want to link arms with us here at Fortis Institute, we would be honored if you would begin praying about how that would look in your life to do just that. You can get answers to any questions that you have right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, I want you to also understand, if you're new around here, there's no pressure for you to join us as a gospel partner. Just listen and use what's useful. But if you've been around for a while and this has become a part of your routine and how you and your spouse think and talk, then you know why we keep the door unlocked. That's what gospel partners make possible. That's why we would be honored if you would become one. All right, now let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive.
Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive. And we're asking God to tell us. Oh, we haven't turned to the latest, greatest afternoon talk show. We haven't locked on to talk radio. We haven't watched a Netflix series and said, now let's figure out what real love looks like. I got to tell you, you would be in some terrible places and you'd be missing key components. When we go to the Bible, it is shocking, but it is incredibly helpful. Vicky and I have experienced putting into practice what it's taught about. And patience heads up the list of what it means to love another person. That's how it begins in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Love is patient. And it means a long fuse. You don't have a short fuse. You don't live with them with a short fuse. And you choose to not focus on weakness and certainly not take advantage of it to hurt them.
And I really like how you bring that out, Brad. I'm choosing to not focus on weakness because obviously your spouse, we all have them, but it's, and hopefully we're trying to do better in our areas. I know I try, things that I know really bother you, I try to get better at. But sometimes it's just, sometimes fundamentally they're just, they're not going to change as much as perhaps.
And if you think about it, to reach back to a previous show where I took you back to Genesis and I said, helper suitable,
a fit,
a good fit, then you got to keep in mind, it's just absolutely wrong to keep thinking, why doesn't my spouse have the same strengths I do?
And we were both guilty of doing that.
He brought us together. If he thought I was good with directions, we wouldn't need her to be good with directions.
Right.
It's like, there's some things that are shared that cross over.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff that finally we recognized and we're experiencing it now, like dovetailed furniture that's well made. She's not supposed to be everything I am, and I'm not supposed to be everything she is, but we're supposed to work together.
But I think you really hit on something when you said that long fuse helps you not judge your other spouse.
Yeah.
So, for example, we've talked about before, I think in an earlier show, about how when we first got married, I always lost my keys. Brad got this little duck. We got it for a wedding present, some brass key thing.
It's a brass duck that has five hooks
on
it.
You can mount your keys on the wall. And to be honest, that did help to know where your keys are. Now I just keep them in my purse and it's great. We don't even have to have our keys. We just get in the car with your purse and it has the no touch. It's wonderful. But anyway, I do lose things. Try not to lose things, but I do. And an example of the way Brad's really grown in this is he has this pen. It's kind of like one of those old Bic pens. You can push four different little things down.
It's got five different cartridges or colors all the way around it.
And it's a high-tech C Coletto 4 Pilot pen from Japan. And
love
so
that pen.
Someone from our church, I think they were
gifted
in Paris.
It to me.
And they got it.
They brought it back from an overseas. Somewhere. He's an airline pilot.
Yes.
And he brought it back.
And
you can get them on Amazon now, but at the time, it was a pretty big deal.
But we like this pen because you can underline in your Bible with it.
Super fine point.
Yes. So you know how sometimes when you underline your Bible, and then when you do that, it bleeds over on the page under it or behind it, so you don't want that. So anyway, I told Brad, I said, hey, I would love—
So say the name again for the listeners who want to get one of these.
C, as in cat, Coletto, C-O-L-E-T-O, dash 4 pilot pen. Mm. So— He got me one, which was wonderful. I've used it.
I gifted her one.
I keep it with me in my Bible drawer, blah, blah, blah. When we go on trips, I put it in a box with my Bible, all that. Okay, well, about 6 months ago, I was like, oh my goodness, my high-tech C Coletto 4 Pilot pen is gone. I'm like, it's going to show up. It will, because a lot of things, if you just wait, they usually will show up. Not this one. Still has not shown up.
I don't know anything about this.
But then I was embarrassed. I thought, great, it's me again, the loser, losing all our stuff. I've lost my high-tech C Coletto pen that you have to order online. I don't want to tell them. So I was just trying to mumble through my Bible reading. There were things I wanted to underline that I wasn't underlining because I thought, I don't have my high-tech C Coletto 4 Pilot pen. And so finally, I just thought, okay, this is ridiculous. 3 weeks, I'm missing great things from God's Word because I don't have a special pen. So I told Brad, I said, hey, you know, I'm embarrassed, but I've lost my high-tech C Coletto 4 Pilot pen. And he just had the best attitude. He's just like, hey, I'll get you another one. I know right where, because I don't know where he gets them. I hadn't, to be honest, even paid attention to the name until then. And so, you know, 1 week later, here it comes in the mail.
Oh, but
I really appreciate it.
But even more, you know, to kind of pull together more than one thing we've been talking about, you want to know them and what is important to them. Not only did I know real love meant diffuse this fear. I could sense it also. She's fearful to even tell me this. Diffuse
this
it immediately with, oh, honey, that's fine. I'll get you another one. I did it quickly, but I did more. I knew that unlike me, she doesn't like all the colors. She actually likes one color.
Right.
And so I ordered her not only the new pen, but a little case of all fillers that were that one color.
Black.
So that she would be ready to go.
I don't like brown. I don't like purple.
And I got to tell you, folks, this is not like if you're listening and thinking, oh, I can't imagine living that way. That'd be so arduous. You know what's hard? is living the way we were living before.
Yeah.
Just so edgy with each other, so unkind with each other, so impatient with each other. When you get going in this direction, trust me, it feels good because it's right. He's called us to live this way. And so even it's intentional. I go out of my way when I sense that she has lost something. And like she said, it hasn't been in a long time.
It does happen though.
But even when our, you know, when our marriage had just rounded the corner doing better, keys were still a pretty big deal back then. And I could tell sometimes, I can just tell it, she's lost her keys.
And but I'm not going to tell her.
No. She's just moving around the home in a way that I can tell she's looking for her keys. And so I would just speak into the room and just diffuse. I'm like, honey, do you need help finding your keys? But here's what I don't know if you remember this, but here's what I chose to say, because I thought I really want her to know how she's not being judged. And I would say, I'll help you find your keys. You are more important than keys. I love you.
I do remember that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great.
And so, folks, we're not even saying, well, just sort of do better. Mm-hmm. You're still ticked, but you get up and say, all right, I'll help you find your keys. Why can't you put them on the brass? Right. That's not how I would do it.
Thank you.
I was like, are you looking for your keys? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll help you. You're more important than keys. I love you.
That was life-giving. He's so patient with a little Shetland. Now, again, he calls me little Shetland.
Don't hear me saying, yay, Brad. Right. You do it so perfectly.
But yay, Brad. I'll say it. I still blow it.
But this is what we're talking about, folks. Yeah. It's very practical, in the trenches, real.
Right.
Of what patience looks like.
Mm-hmm. I think another time was we went and rode bikes recently, and we stopped at this, on the trail, there was some type of restaurant. We were like, hey, let's go check this thing out.
And there was a little brewery that had opened with outdoor dining and patio chairs.
So somehow, once again.
So even like that, let me back up.
Okay.
I said, oh, do you mind if we stop there? I'm pretty sure she would not have stopped there.
No, because we had already eaten.
She just wants to ride her bike. But this is how we're living with each other and relating back and forth. She said, sure.
He just wanted to check it out.
I didn't think she wanted to do that, but I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I love places like that. I said, I'd love to go in and just check out. You know, what's the menu? What do they got going on? And then I went for broke while she was in the bathroom. I thought, I think I'd love to sit out there in one of the Adirondack chairs. And
they had live music.
So I went ahead and got a drink. And when she came out, I said, hey, I'd love to just sit. And she didn't say, honey, I don't want to stay here. I want to ride bikes. Uh-huh. And we just sat in two Adirondack chairs, even though she was nervous that her bike might be stolen.
Mm-hmm. I had to keep my bike in my sights, because that's a whole nother story. She bought me a new bike, folks. Well, yeah, that's a whole nother story.
We should back it way
up. I'm
not
even sure we have time.
That was the previous bike trip where I went into a bike shop next to the trail get my seat tightened. Hello, welcome to... And my seat kept falling down. I'm like, I'm just going to see if they can tighten this. She comes in and is like, well, I've been thinking about a helmet. And so they had helmets half off. We get a helmet. And while I'm paying for the helmet, she's browsing the bikes.
Well, to his credit, he's been wanting me to get a new bike for like 10 years. I have this $15 10-speed I bought at a garage sale. I'm very similarly attached to it.
It's an old 10-speed that she got at a garage sale for $15.
Yes, I didn't want to part with it. But then when I saw this new one that was bright, it was like aqua blue. It's beautiful.
It's robin egg blue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we walked out of there with my seat tightened, her a new bike. Her a new helmet.
Yes.
And each of us a new bike water bottle.
Yes.
I'm sure they were thrilled. This is how it happens.
All because someone's seat needed tightening.
But back it up.
Yeah.
The next bike trip that we had, we're coming out of the brewery tavern after having
sat there. And we're riding away on our bikes.
We've already unhooked the bikes. Yeah. We're about to ride off. And she says to me,
oh my goodness, I forgot my readers. I left them. Because somehow I'd gotten out of the car with my readers, and my whole trip on my bike, I was carrying these readers in my hand. I've since bought a little bag to put them in. But anyway, and he's like, tell him what you said.
So she's behind me.
Yeah.
We're on the trail. And she's like, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. Those are my favorite readers. I need to go back and get my readers.
I think I left them in the bathroom. Because I go there a lot.
And I just said, honey, they're... And I didn't say it sarcastically. I said... They're on your head.
I was actually relieved. They're on my head.
But then I could tell by the look on her face, she was embarrassed and felt ashamed.
Dumb.
And here's what I said next. I do stuff like that all the time. Mm-hmm. I said, I do stuff like that all the time. I was recently on the phone next to my car in the parking lot at church. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, I've got to go back to my office. I left my phone on my desk. I got to go back. I got to unlock the door. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm talking to you on my phone.
Yeah, so he told me that story.
And so instead of making her feel dumb, I said, oh, honey, I've done stuff like that. We are talking about how your marriage could begin to thrive. And the Bible says it starts with love is patient.
Long fuse,
mm-hmm. Patient. Don't take advantage of their weaknesses. Don't shame them. Don't publicly embarrass them.
That's good.
Love them like God loves us.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.